Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Time for our weekly discussion on what's going on in America with Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas. But let's start by hearing a little bit of what Donald Trump said yesterday in Israel about how he has, apparently, according to himself anyway, settled 8 wars since he took office.
Do you think we settled 8 wars in 8 months? I'm now including this one, by the way, if that's okay. They may say, well, that was quick, because yesterday I was saying 7, but now I can say 8. The hostages are back. The hostages are back. It is a good feeling. Isn't that nice to say? You know, I just said the hostage, first time I said the hostages are back. It feels so good to say it. But no, and my personality actually is all about stopping wars, and it seems to work.
But Cal Thomas, what's your take on what you heard yesterday from Donald Trump?
Well, Matt, I don't know anybody who is against peace, even if it's temporary. You have Democrats, many Democrats in America, including Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, others who have never said anything, to my knowledge, nice about Donald Trump, who are praising him for this. I think it's wonderful the hostages are out. I think it's terrible that so many were killed. I think it's horrible that there was such destruction in Gaza caused by Hamas, by hiding out in these civilian areas and daring Israel to come after them. But going forward, it's more important that to have just these wonderful tableaus, as we saw in Jerusalem and in Sharm el-Sheikh, with all of those leaders from the Middle East. It was an unbelievable picture. We have to know what's going to happen going forward. And I'm concerned that there has been nothing about the canceling of these charters of these terrorist organizations who demand the destruction of Israel, the killing of the Jews. They say it's their God's will for them to do this. I found this quote from the Palestinian Media Watch, which is a publication that keeps tabs on terrorist groups. And in their October publication, there was this, quote, "It may be necessary," this is from Hamas, one of their spokespeople, "it may be necessary to find a way to persuade Hamas to completely leave the area." Oh, I'm sorry, it's not from them, it's from another Palestinian. "It may be necessary to find a way to persuade Hamas to completely leave the area for a year or two. Later, when things become clearer, we can look for ways to bring Hamas back to operation." And I think that until teachers stop teaching their children to hate Jews in Israel, until these charters are revoked, I think until the Muslims, the mullahs, stop preaching from their mosques hatred for Jews and the state of Israel, then I don't see peace as having been achieved.
What about the hatred that it seems many Israelis have for the Palestinian people and population, and the 67,000 deaths that occurred because of the Israeli assault, which you do seem to attribute just to the fact that Hamas was hiding the hostages and civilian populations. Can you really say that those 67,000 deaths, including 21,000 children and tens of thousands of others seriously injured, and the famine that has come, was a legitimate response by Israel to the horrendous provocation and the utterly wrong acts of Hamas on October 7, 2023?
Well, Matt, you're using figures from Hamas, and This also is from Palestine Media Watch on September 1st. Quote, journalists in Gaza, whether working for Palestinian media or foreign newspapers, know that deviating from Hamas's version of events places their freedom and even their lives in danger. Survival comes first. Truth comes second. Look, I think any death and any war is terrible. But this kind of stuff, this threat against the existence of Israel has been going on since 1948. Israel has been attacked over and over again by Arab and Muslim states and by many, many terrorist actions. So I can understand the hatred of these people who do this.
Okay, Mary McKeown, do you want to respond to what Cal has been saying?
I'm not really sure where to start, but let's start with the number of journalists killed. Cal, more journalists were killed in Gaza, as we know, than in any other war in the history of the world. They were all targeted in many cases and killed by the IDF, by Israelis. They were deliberately targeted. Journalists that had press on their cars, journalists that were wearing vests that clearly said press. How many journalists did Al Jazeera lose? How many journalists did other media organisations? They systemically targeted and killed journalists. We're talking about the IDF here, not Hamas. Now, I absolutely agree. I would love to never see Hamas. I would love it if they would pack up and disappear. Every last one of them, if they would never darken the door of Gaza or the West Bank or anywhere else ever again. And they have brought nothing but misery to the Palestinian people. But let's not confuse that with the misery and the death and destruction that Israel has wrought upon the Palestinians. You question the death tolls by the Palestinian Health Authority, which is run by Hamas. They have all been verified consistently by the UN, by human rights organisations. I know not any number of people who are working in Gaza at great personal risk. British people, American people as well, who are working for aid organisations, they have said the devastation, the stories they have told me, I literally could not repeat on air. So let's just accept that certain things are true, that Hamas is responsible for igniting this appalling hell that has visited Gaza for 2 years, but that Israel has committed genocide. Both of these things are true. Now, I am delighted that the bombs have stopped. I could not be happier. I am delighted that hopefully Hamas will be disbanded. It will be extremely difficult. I suspect they'll come back again in one form or another eventually, or they'll do their damnedest to do so. But there is an enormous task ahead. Yet, you know, Trump has taken his bow now. All really we know Trump is interested in is the optics. You know, this thing of President of Board of Peace, there will be massive construction projects in Gaza. People are talking about a $50 billion rebuild. This is insane. I mean, we know that just to build a children's hospital in Dublin, like just the construction costs alone and design costs came close to €2 billion. I mean, we're talking about the rebuilding of Gaza is going to cost, I've no idea, everything has been destroyed, not just homes, but electricity, infrastructure, transport, water, everything. So God knows how much will cost to rebuild, but who is going to pay for that? What companies are going to be in to make a killing? Because there will be mass corruption, we do know that. And then talking about the stabilisation, the security measures, will there be a force that will there be Palestinian security guards? Will they be trained by the Egyptians and the Turks? Will there be a mixed force? And will there be Indonesians, Pakistani peacekeepers? Will it be UN? We don't know any of this. All we know is that the bombs have stopped dropping and aid is being allowed in. And for that, I do applaud Donald Trump, because he did twist Netanyahu's arm. But it just goes to show, Netanyahu had said all along, I can't do it, I can't do it. The right-wingers of my party, they'll never let it happen. Well, guess what happened when he was sufficiently threatened, when sufficient pressure was applied. And as I say, I do applaud Donald Trump for that. But we are a long way from peace, and nobody should be under any illusion to anything otherwise. I hope it lasts, but there's a huge amount of work to be done.
Let's not forget, Marianne, just one quick point. It was the Gazans who elected Hamas as their government. That should not be ignored.
Under pressure from the US, Condoleezza Rice, to hold an election back in 2007, when every advisor in the Middle East said, do not hold an election there. You will only ensure that Hamas is elected. And Condoleezza Rice and George W. Bush ignored that advice.
Okay, let's talk about what will happen in the White House on Friday, because remember Trump said he would have the Russian invasion of Ukraine, that the war would end on his first day back in office. He seems to have soured a little bit on his friendship with Vladimir Putin, which remains to be seen. But will he give Vladimir Zelensky the weapons, the Tomahawk missiles, to fight back when they meet in the White House on Friday, Cal?
Well, Matt, I think that's certainly the next step. But the question is, Putin is not one to knuckle under to any kinds of threats, be they verbal or be they military. The only thing that can be hoped for, in my judgment, given his personality, Putin's, I mean, is that somehow the military or his political opponents, if they all haven't been killed by him yet, can topple him and some kind of peace arrangement or deal can be made. I don't see him humbling under any threat of Tomahawk missiles or anything else. He doesn't think life is valuable. He kills journalists. People fall off balconies. People wind up dead in the streets, allegedly from suicide. This is not a man who's going to respond to anything that diplomats or a president of the United States does. So I'm all for the Tomahawk missiles, but, you know, he's still got the nuclear weapons. So it's a dangerous escalation, but it may be necessary, although I don't think it's going to convince Putin to come to the table with Zelensky.
So what do you expect, Mario, not a Friday's encounter?
You know, I think that Trump may be a little on a bit of a high at the moment as a peacemaker. We heard him touting his eight wars that he solved. I think he might have been talking about the war between autism and acetaminophen in there somewhere, the number that he claims to have resolved. And we saw the Palestinian suck-up prime minister there nominating for the Peace Prize twice. He's fed up with Putin. Putin has humiliated him, and Trump does not like that. I think he could easily say, you know, have at it or promise them or try and do something else to pressure Putin. But as Cal said, we see that Putin doesn't really respond to pressure. But then again, this war, you know, is costing him a lot of money. It's costing him a lot of troops. It's really bogged down at the moment. So let's see what happens.
Of course, the ego as well, Cal. He's now at war with Time magazine, calling a cover photo that accompanied a feature on his Middle East peace deal the worst of all time. I'm just going to quote what he wrote on Truth Social this morning. Time magazine wrote a relatively good story about me, but the picture may be the worst of all time. They disappeared my hair, and then they had something floating on top of my head that looked like a floating crown, but an extremely small one. Really weird. He then went on to call the image a super bad picture that deserves to be called out. Really?
Well, I think he should have, the Time should have used the pictures of one of his mugshots in New York or in Georgia. Much more hair in those pictures.
Yeah, good point. Okay, now tell us about Pete Hegseth, Marion, and his attempt to force the media to follow Pentagon propaganda, which has been rejected by even the MAGA channel Newsmax.
You know, Hegseth just scores one own goal after another. He's such an embarrassment as a defence secretary. This is ridiculous. So he's been trying, you know, Cal, I'm sure you've been to the Pentagon, the press briefings there as well. They're really pretty open and pretty relaxed. Once you've got your accreditation, they've always talked to journalists on the side. You know, I've never been told anything that was classified. I don't know if anybody else was, but they will chat to you. They will willingly give you background information. And Pete Hegseth now wants to make it basically a criminal offence for any official in the Pentagon to have a chat with about any journalist about anything that is unclassified. So in theory, you know, if somebody said we're painting the mess room blue, that could be a crime to give any information that isn't cleared through some new authority at the Pentagon to even speak to journalists. It's ridiculous, and it's all part of the piece of where they've kicked a lot of journalists, including the New York Times defence correspondent. They've taken their seats in the Pentagon press area and given them to far-right bloggers and far-right media, and they've generally just been restricting access to the Pentagon and just really clamping down on journalists in there just because Pete Hegseth doesn't happen to like the media because they call him out for being the clown that he is. And you know, it's ridiculous. It's probably, if it goes to court, and I hope it doesn't have to, I hope that the journalists do, unlike the White House correspondents, I hope they do stick together and grow a spine between them, and any of them refuse to sign it, and then I think he will have to back down. But it's a clear transgression on First Amendment rights. He can't do it.
Cal, we're going to have a big grassroots protest this weekend coming, the so-called No Kings marches throughout the United States. Are those who participated in that going to be rewarded with being called Antifa terrorists?
Well, Matt, first, let me agree, as a real journalist, as Marianne is, with what she just said. This has been tried in other administrations, even going back to John Kennedy, who canceled his subscription to the New York Herald Tribune because he didn't like what they were saying about him. But that's a totally different thing. Look, I know that a lot of these demonstrations are organized by far-left groups, even outside the country, bringing money into the United States. Look at the signs. Many of them are very neatly made. Who are these people? Don't they have jobs? How do you get off your job to demonstrate in the street for days and days and days? They're all being subsidized, Antifa, the crazy left, and I don't think that they have any credibility, and I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to them, given what has just happened to the Middle East and the economy, which has come back under Trump, and so many other things.
Marianne, what's your response to that?
Oh, I beg to disagree there, Cal. There is no party or organization called Antifa. It's not, there's no such thing really. And in terms of who these people are, if you go on the Indivisible website, you'll see there are posts by 89-year-old women who say they're bringing all their friends. There are posts by students. There are posts by workers. Mm-hmm. There are about 800,000 federal workers who are loafing around with nothing to do. Their union is suggesting that they join these marches. These aren't people who hate America and communists. These are ordinary Americans who are fed up with the authoritarian steamrollering that Donald Trump is doing over their rights. They're fed up with him sending troops into their cities on ridiculous fake pretexts, and they just want America back. I'd say these are people who love America, and Mike Johnson's mealy-mouthed denigrating of them is just kind of pathetic, really.
We will leave it there. Marianne McKeown and Cal Thomas, thank you both for being with us.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.